The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voice.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Friday, 19 July 2019. More than half the year burned up. And we'll be saying 2020 here before too long. Wow. Art, you're up next. Hello, Art.
Hey, John. I'm assuming your memory is at least, you know, as good as mine, maybe a little bit better.
Oh, never make that assumption. I'm sorry, what were we talking about just now? No, go ahead. I'm teasing.
I remember you mentioned hate laws.
Yes.
And I seem to remember having this discussion several years ago right here on this very broadcast when B'nai B'rith began to make its major emergence and push in Canada for hate speech laws.
Mm-hmm.
And we said that if it was accepted and there was no pushback, how long would it be before we saw hate speech and hate laws here in the United States? Look around us.
Yep.
It's here.
Yep.
People thought we were safe.
Art, we've been telling and warning people. We have been telling them and warning them and warning them and telling them. But they just don't, either they don't want to believe it, or they want to believe that, oh, you know, that's a possibility, but that'll never happen here, will it?
Never in the United States. That's the big one I hear.
Yeah.
Never in the United States. Well, guess what?
It's right here. It's right here in the United States. Yeah. You know, you tell people, the people that actually wrote the verbiage for the Affordable Care Act was the insurance companies. And they look at you and go, no, really? Well, you know, the people that wrote the hate crime laws, you know, you tell them who these people are, and they go, really?
No,
that can't be true. You know, the government never did a see something, say something. Then they tried to bring it back and popularize it. That was part of Total Awareness Network, that they were telling you that you had to look under your bushes and you had to patrol your neighborhoods and... My God, you had terrorists running around your midst. You didn't even know. When you see something, you got to say something, no matter. Oh, and these laws, by the way, Art, weren't to be used against anything else but terrorists. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Yeah.
You know, so now here's the new one, right? We saw what happened with hate speech laws in Canada. Now we're starting to see an emergence here. I mean, they can now hold you accountable if you say something, you know, if you deny there's more than two genders. But now in California, in Canada, if your little Johnny comes home and says, Mommy, Daddy, I'm not Johnny anymore, I'm Josephine, and you tell him, no, you are Johnny, they can come and take your child away. This is happening in Canada right now.
Yes.
In Ontario.
Yes.
Passed the law.
Yes.
How long do you... before we see that here.
It won't be too much longer. I mean, look, it's the same damn thing when, look, Art, it's the same thing when we were telling people that affordable care or national health care, give it a name, I don't care, it comes under various guises and names, but it's all the same thing. National health care, that's going to come to this country. They're going to try it here. Oh, no, they'd never try it here. You know, they're going to go after the guns because if you haven't noticed that this, you know, the national health care is about control of you, not just your medical stuff, but this is control of you. And haven't you noticed that every country that has adopted national health care, well, the gun laws, well, you can't own any guns. Guns got to go too. And we keep telling people this, and it keeps happening over and over again. They keep grousing and going, no, this can't be. Well, they've upgraded now. They won't say it'll never happen here. They just now modified and said, this can't be happening here.
Yeah, and it's and people still think it's a joke, but I tell people, believe it or not, insurance company now has the authority to deny you treatment. My doctor literally prescribed a surgical procedure for me, and the insurance company said no. So there is no more patient-doctor. You got the insurance company and you got government in there. It doesn't matter what they try to tell you. It's happening because I'm experienced it.
You know, 2025, it's probably closer to 25 years ago. And this was the anti-gun rhetoric was really peaking in this country. And I don't remember if it was Allstate. I want to believe that it was Allstate. I'm really reaching back in the breadbasket here of the mind. But the basis was that this guy got his homeowner's insurance canceled. They would not renew because he reloaded his own cartridges in his garage. And they were so anti-gun and anti-explosive and anti-anti, they up and canceled this guy's insurance policy and was dumb enough to tell him the reason why. That was 25 years ago. You know, 20, 25 years ago, UPS was going through people's packages before they, little brown boys would knock on your door to make the delivery. I had a friend of my sister's. He ordered some guns and, well, you're supposed to inspect the package and then open them up and inspect the contents, make sure they're not damaged. UPS female showed up at his door, handed him one of the firearms that he had ordered, and the box is ripped open. He goes, wait a minute, I can't take this. The box is ripped open. She says, oh, no, that's okay. I did that. He said, well, the hell did you do that for? She says, well, it's policy. You know, if it's guns, you were just trying to keep an eye on. She wouldn't say exactly what she was being told to do, but pretty much admitted that that's the company's policy. If we're delivering guns, you know, we got to make sure. So I'm, nah, that can't happen here.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Hey, Art, I appreciate it, bud. Have yourself a good weekend.
Right. You too.
All right. Donna, Minnesota. Hello, Donna.
Hi, John.
Hi, I hear Canada's trying to buy your state. Is that true?
Well, either way, we're just going to hit. I told my husband we win the lottery, we're moving down to Texas. We'll buy a big ranch. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I was calling in about the subject you guys are talking about on the Somalis here in Minneapolis. Ooh. We just live about 20 minutes north. And so, yeah, I heard not too long ago that the Minneapolis Police Department doesn't even patrol down there anymore. It's a no-go zone. And so the Somalis patrolled themselves with guns. But, you know, we're not supposed to be able to protect ourselves.
Do you know, years ago, and I hate to recount this story, but years ago, I went up to Minnesota to go visit GCN.
Sorry, we got a dog that's excited. My husband's home. She wants to play.
Okay.
So.
Well, okay. I'm not all for kicking ankle biters, so. at any rate, Alex Jones and myself, we fly up to Minnesota. We're in a cab, and there's a Somali driver driving. And this guy is driving like he thinks he's in the Indianapolis 500, and he's got a pit crew. And I looked at this guy, and I've got eye lock on him through his rearview mirror, and I'm looking at him. And I said, hey, I said, do they drive this way in Somalia? He thought I was joking. He had a big laugh. And I said, look, I said, I'm trying to be very nice by hinting, slow yourself down. I mean, he's doing 70, 80 miles an hour a foot off of somebody else's bumper on an expressway.
And I looked at this guy
and I said, you're going to do one of two things, or I'm going to do the third. Either you're going to honor my request to slow down and drive like a sane man, or you're going to hit the nearest exit and let me out of this cab, or I'm going to punch you in the back of your little rounded head. Take your pick.
Yeah.
He finally realized I wasn't joking.
Yeah, and he slowed down. Yeah.
What's the percentage of Somalians, and how did little Somalia come about in Minnesota?
Well, because of the crazy previous governor, that's why. My husband calls him Crazy Eyes. So
I'm sorry.
We have now isn't much better.
Okay, well, help me out here, because
it was Governor Dayton. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
from the Dayton family.
That guy I knew nothing about.
Yeah.
How was it up there, by the way? You've been there up there long enough when...
Oh, yeah. I was born. Yeah. I grew up not too far from where we live right now.
Okay. So the ex-Special Forces guy, when he was governor, how was he?
Ventura?
Jesse Ventura.
I was younger then, so I didn't pay much attention.
My dear, we were all younger then. Yeah.
I don't know. I was busy working a couple jobs weeks, and we had a.
Running all over the place. So Mr. Dayton is governor.
No.
What was the mechanism or the excuse or the reasoning he gave? I'm trying to find out and discover how many Somalians are actually running around Minnesota, because it sounds like you're inundated.
It's I hear between 125 to 150,000 just in Minneapolis, but then we got them north of here. You know, they kind of got them in some other, you know, up in St. Cloud. That's north of here, probably about 40-45 minutes. Really nice place, but now I hear that's been pretty well taken over up there. And there's, you know, just like other states, they kind of bring them into these rural areas and just drop them off, and all of a sudden overnight, you know, it's just like, where'd these people come from? I know my husband was on the city council here in town, because we're only about 4,000 people. They started interfering a little bit. I can't remember if it was the League of Cities or the Met Council. Anyways, they were concerned that we didn't have affordable housing. Well, right away, my husband's eyebrows went up. He knew what they were heading for. Mm-hmm. So he called them up. He says, exactly what do you consider affordable housing? You know, like the price range of homes. And so they told him, he says, well, that's downtown where we live right now. He says, so we got affordable housing here. So don't, you know, we figured they were going to probably try and push some of that stuff here in this little town, you know. And so they never got it through. You know, they never, because what could they do? We already, you know, the homes are older homes and stuff like that, so yeah. they couldn't try and probably push their communist ways here yet, at least, you know, so.
Well, I can guarantee you the 150,000 Somalians are now running around in Minnesota are glad they're not in Somalia right now.
Well, you go, you know, into the Twin City area, and I mean, it's just, they're all over. Matter of fact, out this way, my husband, he's works as a barber, and there's a license bureau. It's like just a little tiny strip mall, you know, so there's several businesses connected in one building. And he goes outside to have a cigarette, and he said one day, he says, what the heck's going on? They're going in and out of there like crazy. They're driving brand-new cars, you know, renewing their license tabs. And he talked to the woman. She goes, yeah, some of them don't even really know English and stuff. Yeah, how did they even, are they able to read our road signs and drive?
And not too well either, I can guarantee you that. All right, well, Donna, I appreciate the call. You have yourself a good weekend.
You too. Thanks, John.
All right, thank you. You know, and here, you know, the funny thing about this is, the people who want to migrate to this country, they just want to bring a little bit of the old world with them. So what they do, they have a tendency to group and congregate, and then you have mass blocks of people from foreign countries. Then they get the idea that they want to set up their own culture, you know, kind of like, it's almost like being home. Now, I will not say that the people that come into this country want to change American law, but we have seen it before. The Sharia law, we've seen it in foreign countries. It's almost like they know better than to try it here, because it's rebuked almost immediately and pointed out. But for the countries that figured, we'll leave well enough alone and just let the situation grow of its own accord or fester, depending on your point of view, and then they start making demands. Then they want the laws changed. Then they want this. Then they want that. Forgetting, of course, that they immigrated to a country and the country was nice enough to take them in. They didn't bring them in for them to set up their little own fiefdom and their own little kingdom and then start turning on the government, demand that they change the laws to fit their suited culture or philosophy or outlook on life. It's not so prevalent here. But rather, you know, the first step in diagnosing what the root cause of a problem is, first of all, you got to recognize there is a problem and identify it as being a problem. And then start identifying the sources of this problem. You basically dissect it, you do forensic stuff, and you take a look at it objectively, explode it, look at every little piece, and come up with your conclusions. That's the same way to do it. But the mindless madcap stuff that's going on today, that you're prejudicial. Look, I have been repeatedly saying this throughout the years, unless you're an Indian, and I mean the that kind of Indian, Ms. Warren, then we're all immigrants in this country. Whether it was from England when we were English subjects and rebelled against the king and created our own country. Whether you were German, whether you were Irish, whatever. A lot of these people would come into New York Harbor, Germans, Irish. They had next to nothing. They got a boat ticket, and they got off the boat. And they didn't have the money to travel, so naturally they started to congregate closer to the point where they disembarked from the ship. But still went through what? Customs. Well, there's a customary rule that there's a set of rules here you got to follow. You got to answer these questions. And by the way, we'd like you very much to speak English in an English-speaking country. Not unreasonable request. You come here to be a part of us. Don't come here to make us a part of you. Ain't doing it. If I wanted to be Somalian, if I wanted to be Nicaraguan, I wanted to be Mexican, I wanted to be Japanese, Chinese, pick a country, I don't care. I will go there and live and observe their culture. Don't come here and try to set up your culture here. Why? Well, to be honest with you, after 200 and some odd years, we're still trying to figure out who and what the hell we are. But we know we got a banner we fly in and we march under. And this was the enumerated rights, not the privileges given to us by our government. But these were the rights that were enumerated and written down as a reminder to the government, here's where you don't color outside the lines, boys and girls. You don't do it. This is why I found that I went off the deep end Tuesday. I mean, I went off. When I saw this creature from San Francisco, the 79-year-old dried up, she should have been out of politics years ago, start to use the founders, start to use the Constitution in one of her press conferences. That set me off to no end. I thought, that's hypocrisy beyond hypocrisy. Super hypocrisy. No reason to get excited.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty, when you call me, you can call me out. A man walks down the street, says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and all my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model?
You know, I used to play that every time Al Whitney was on the air with me. Let me see what else is going on in our great democracy. Whoa. Ah, here's a ditty I had posted earlier today. Just absolutely warms the something of something. An Oklahoma man at Mickey D's. That, by the way, is Steve Elkins' favorite eatery. Right, Steve? He was arrested after he raped a 4-year-old girl in a McDonald's restroom while her carers left her to use the bathroom during a daycare field trip. Okay. You pay all this money for daycare and they take your 4-year-old to McDonald's and your 4-year-old gets raped. Whew. Here's the story. by the AP. A 37-year-old Oklahoma man has been jailed on rape complaints after authorities said he sexually assaulted a 4-year-old girl in a bathroom in McDonald's play area, which the child was visiting during a daycare field trip. Midwest City Police say that a daycare worker knocked on the locked bathroom door at 725 Southeast 15th Street on Tuesday after the girl didn't return promptly. A police affidavit says a man eventually came out and said, "I was just washing my hands." The child told workers the man, identified as Joshua David Cabatra, sexually assaulted her. Cabatra told police that he had felt sick and threw up in the bathroom sink while the girl was on the toilet. Cabatra remains in jail in Oklahoma City, and court records don't list an attorney who can speak on his behalf. And of course, McDonald's released a statement saying that they were disturbed by the incident. "At McDonald's, nothing is more important to us than the safety and well-being of our customers," the statement reads. I could almost make a joke there, but I'm not going to. This is a serious story. "We are deeply disturbed by the incident that occurred at one of our Oklahoma restaurants earlier this week. We are fully cooperating with the police during their investigation. At this time, our thoughts are with the victim and others impacted by the incident." He remains jailed in Oklahoma City, and court records, as I said, don't list any attorney of record. 37-year-old man going after a 4-year-old girl in a McDonald's restroom. Not to say that this has never happened before. Oh, but when it did before, it made national news, national headlines. Now, it's no big deal. Unless, of course, it was your 4-year-old. Unbelievable. "We Hold These Truths started challenging Israel-supported churches in 2002. The term Christian Zionism was not in use. Today there are more groups like FOSNA, Friends of Sabeel North America, True News, and a growing number of mainline Christians are challenging Christian Zionism. In this 19-minute podcast, Chuck Carlson and members of We Hold These Truths discuss some of the latest developments in the turning from Christian Zionism that we described in our 2010 documentary, Christian Zionism, A Tragedy and a Turning, Part 1. We've got a break coming up here. I've got to take the bottom of the hour break. But I want to play that little clip. And again, we're just looking at religious beliefs, people that claim they're religious and who they identify with and all of this other stuff. You know, I'm really amazed. Whenever I get criticisms and a smattering of, "Geez, you're an anti-Semite." No, I'm not. I am not really. Just because you're Jewish, it doesn't make you an ogre. Just because you're this or that. Every person needs to be judged on their own actions, not necessarily lumped in a group. And, "Oh, that's you. Oh, okay, so you're to be shunned." I have never been that way, because I myself would not want to be treated that way, and I'm sure other people don't want to be treated that way as well. But there are times that people make broad moves by way of organization, and then they want to convince you, but they've got an underlying agenda. We'll hear what Chuck Carlson has to say about that subject when we return.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.com. www.republic.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with FrontSight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, FrontSight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, FrontSight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Betty in North Carolina. Hello, Betty.
Hi, John. I wonder if you will help me so that I can talk to people about being a citizen of the District of Columbia and its impact if I go into the courtroom on my constitutional rights.
Holy mackerel. I don't think I have enough time in the rest of this program, Betty. Let me think on that.
All right.
And I will bring it up on the air next week. How's that?
That's perfect. Just one last thing. When you were talking Tuesday, was it Pelosi's talk?
Yeah.
Did they change the parliamentarian rules?
No, she changed them. She said that the parliamentary decision was made that the speech that she was going to give was okay, and it was not. It was not cleared by them. Once she uttered it, then I forget the man's name. I can still see his face. He stood up, and he wanted the remarks stricken from the record because mm-hmm. she was going after Donald Trump and basically calling him names. Says that's not parliamentary procedure, and that's established. Well, you saw what happened.
So did they remove it from the record or not?
No, it's still there.
Okay, all right. That's all I need.
And so is the originator, Nancy Pelosi. And she really needs to go home and go spend her ill-gotten gains. She really does.
Thanks. Can you I want to make a donation. Can you change me back?
Sure, absolutely. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Yeah, Mike's got you. All right. The mainline Christians are discovering the dangers of this Christian Zionism. Well, we've talked about this for a number of years. Here's Chuck Carlson's part two on this.
You're listening to WHTT Speaks Out. Each week, Chuck Carlson and members of We Hold These Truths look into events that are, for the most part, ignored or overlooked by the mainstream media. And we analyze these events. To get free and periodic updates to this program and our other interesting programs, be sure to enter your email address in the Subscribe to WHTT box on the right side of our website, WHTT.org. And now, ready, set, let the sparks fly. In today's WHTT Speaks Out, we're going to be talking about the state of Christian Zionism. Back in 1999, We Hold These Truths republished the book Holocaust II, Saving Israel from Suicide. We republished it as One Nation Under Israel, and that exposed the Israel lobby, AIPAC. It was written in 1990, and it is almost becoming self-fulfilling that what Israel is doing is on a path of national suicide. Well, at that time of Chuck going to Israel and into Gaza in 2002, the term Christian Zionism was not even there. It came shortly after that, and of course, through our efforts, we helped spread the use of Christian Zionism. Until today, it's becoming more widely known and even embraced by the likes of John Hagee and Christians United for Israel. He openly brags of being a Christian Zionist. And so we want to talk about an upcoming event countering Kufi in Washington, D.C., organized by Friends of Sabeel North America. These are Palestinian supporters, and Chuck will talk a little bit about that, but we're going to be titling this Christian Mainline Churches Are Discovering Zionism in Their Pews. Chuck?
We want to take a moment to notice something that started to take place in the mainline churches, and it's taking place outside of the mainline churches and organizations like OSNA, which is the Friends of Sabeel North America. Now, we've known about Friends of Sabeel for a long time. They've been friends of ours. And they have been knowledgeable about the abuse of the Palestinian people. But up until now, we have not seen them recognize that the source of power for the persecution of the Palestinian people depends upon American Christians. In other words, the Zionist movement in American churches has condemned the Palestinian people to the abuse by the State of Israel that goes beyond human understanding. And of course, we photographed this in Gaza and in 2002, and we've been showing the same pictures to people ever since. What we are discovering, there have been many people and many organizations who have directly or indirectly managed to find out what's going on to the 2 million people that exist in Gaza and are being daily attacked, destroyed, killed, murdered, starved in that prison called Gaza. But until recently, the mainline churches, the Presbyterians, the Episcopalians, the Methodists, Church of Christ, and so on, I have not recognized that Israel has a program to do this, which is actually what we have come to call Christian Zionism. Now, Tom has mentioned that that term didn't exist in 2002 when we discovered what was going on in Gaza, but it did come into existence shortly thereafter, and people began to call Christians who favored the actions of Israel over the Palestinian people's rights Christian Zionists. We are delighted to see organizations like FASNA, Friends of Sabeel North America, come out and recognize, we think for the first time, that the power that is suppressing the people in the Middle East is supported by a movement which we've come to call Christian Zionism. We're excited and thrilled to see not only Friends of Sabeel do this, and we went to their rally years ago in Washington for the Palestinian people, but their list of endorsers include a number of prominent church groups and organizations within prominent mainline church groups, such as the Israel-Palestinian Network of the Presbyterian Church, USA, the Lakeshore Avenue Baptist Church in Oakland, California, the American Friends Services Committee, which we know about is of course a longstanding peace organization, and there's a long list of supporters of this action that's going to take place on July 6th and 7th in Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C. It is led by Friends of Sabeel North America and the Jewish Voices for Peace and American Muslims for Palestine and so on. We are calling this the beginning of an awakening that is taking place within the mainline churches, where they begin to discover that there is a program to extinguish, probably to exterminate, the people who live in Gaza. And they are beginning to recognize that this is a force within the Christian churches that needs to be countered and recognized. So we're going to call this program, perhaps, Christian Mainline Discovers Zionism. So I'm going to ask our team here to hold forth and give us a few thoughts on how we can further this movement. Now, someone mentioned that True News with Rick Wiles did a very powerful program today in which they stepped out and talked about Christian Zionism as a force for war within our country and talked about the fallaciousness of it and professed their own Christianity at the same time. These are things that we are now seeing going on in the main line that encourages us and makes us think that our efforts are going to pay off and that the mainline Christian churches are going to be the ones who turn around and recognize that the evangelicals who have been following Christian Zionism are in error scripturally and in terms of theology, that this is where the turning is going to come that not only saves what's left of the Palestinian people, but also saves our country from the constant threat of war, which is foisted off against us under the theory that we need to go kill people who do not like Israel, such as the Iranians and the people of Iraq and the people of Libya, who we've already destroyed. We believe the peace movement is going to be carried by the mainline churches that, God bless them, have been largely asleep to this threat for such a long time. And in our view, in our watching, this are beginning to wake up at this time. So what we need to talk about is how we, as Christian leaders or Christian missionaries out there among the mainline churches, among the Christian Zionist churches, how we go about expressing ourselves in order to sell our point to these people. We've had some good comments that have come in from others. We'll be discussing those, but I'll stop now and open this back to you, Tom, and to the floor to see what others might wish to say about how we go about our business of ending the Christian Zionist threat within our own churches and the war threat that goes with it. Tom?
Okay, thanks. I might mention an interesting concept that Rick Wiles of True News came up with, is the concept of displacement theology. In other words, what the Zionists did was displace much of the Palestinian population in 1948. Almost half of them, over 750,000, were displaced and are still living in refugee camps. And This is opposed to what the Christian Zionists claim, that we're replacement theology, that Israel has been replaced. So we won't go into it, but it's used as a pejorative. And so maybe now that this is a good idea to start using this term displacement theology, where God is a real estate agent, if you will, and gave the modern state of Israel based on the claim that the modern Jews, who can't trace their lineage back to the ancient Israelites, are somehow deserving of the land, what is now Israel.
I got a letter from a listener that I'd like to read part of, because I think it's very good to the point. He's talking about how you go ahead and express this belief in a few words to people who are just suddenly waking up and don't have a concept of it. And this listener writes, "We'll listen to your podcast about whose side Israel's on. I got to wondering, what is the key error that makes a Christian Zionist? And I think I have it. A Christian who becomes a Zionist does not understand how the Old Testament and the New Testament relate. He sees both Testaments are still in force, one for the Jews and the other for the Christians. As he reads the Hebrew scripture in his Bible, he notices that God gave Canaan to the ancient Israelites. Therefore, in 2019, which is, 5,000 years later, the Jews should take over the whole land of Eretz Israel, or what is described euphemistically as Greater Israel, with biblical boundaries, because they have a mandate from God, they believe. The Jews, or the Israelites, were God's chosen people in the Old Testament, and so still are, even though the New Testament says that believers in Jesus Christ are God's new chosen people. The Christian Zionist, therefore, has to believe in dual covenant, thanks to the teaching of Schofield, Dallas Seminary, Al Lindsay, and John Hagee. I asked the Christian Zionist this question, and it's the key question of the letter. Can he learn Zionism from the New Testament? The answer is emphatically no. What he will learn is that Jesus Christ brought a new covenant to this world based on Calvary. And the letter goes on briefly thereafter. We need to put together our own little statement of how we go about addressing people we meet in mainline churches who basically believe in Jesus and have never thought about the Zionist problem, or in Christian Zionist churches where they're taught every day that Zionism is the right side of Christianity and that it is part of the New Testament.
Well, Chuck, as you're talking about just the rise of the understanding of Christian Zionism, I think that's made obvious by the fact that it's being pressed back against by the Zionists so hard. We see the hate speech laws that are equating criticism of Israel with anti-Semitism. They wouldn't be doing this if they weren't feeling the pressure. And I'm so glad that organizations like We Hold These Truths and True News is getting the word out that Zionism is a political agenda. It's not a religious agenda, and that Christians have no business supporting this. It's non-biblical. And like the comments that you made, you can't make the case for Christian Zionism in the New Testament. You have to have a flat book Bible where you can grab a book here, or grab a verse here and grab a verse there, and have them all being equal. You're totally defeating the whole nature of a new covenant. Paul talks about there wouldn't be a new covenant if there wasn't something wrong with the old covenant. And that's what we're living under, is the new covenant. And for Christians to go in and try to take this old covenant and say it applies to this real estate over in Palestine today, it's totally bogus. And I'm so thankful that you saw the vision, you know, years ago, Chuck, and were able to get the word out. And it is the turning. It was very slow back then when you first started, but I see it ramping up. I see it getting more momentum as people realize that displacing people, murdering people, killing innocent youngsters, you know, throwing rocks, this whole thing, it is not right. It is immoral. It's wrong. And I think, like, I forget who mentioned years ago, that in the war of pictures, Israel loses big time, because pictures show what's really going on over there. So, again, Chuck, thank you for having the vision years ago.
Okay, thank you, Craig, and thanks to the writer of the letter, Ken.
I was going to say that this counter-Kufi rally, I'm hoping that'll make some news. And hopefully the people coming there to the Kufi event, if they see a significant number of people at a counter rally, maybe right there on the steps, if that's allowed, that should get them to pause and maybe start thinking. I hope it gets a lot of publicity. Rick Wiles was at the APEC conference, and he broadcast that live for 3 days. I don't think APEC's going to invite him back, because afterwards he and his staff reviewed it and pretty well tore it apart. So that might be their first and only time they go there. But whether they're invited to Kufi, I don't know. But hopefully they'll at least be at the counter and give that a bunch of publicity. So the Internet is helping. I think that's where people are waking up. I really do.
Absolutely. And people like Rick Wiles are making an impact and are talented and good at what they're doing. They are the kind of people that actually get listened to.
Well, I'd like to point out, Chuck and Ken, that in 2007, We Hold These Truths was at the Kufi convention, challenging it there. And so we were 12 years ahead of what's going on here. So this is great that other people are picking up the torches, if you will, and challenging outfits like Christians United for Israel, which is a giant lobbying organization for the state of Israel, plain and simple.
Plain and simple. And the truth does not get stale. It continues to work, doesn't it?
Yes.
So we're saying the same things we said in 2007, and now other people are starting to say them. So truth will eventually prevail. It's in God's hands.
One thing that's interesting is the fact that there is a decline in the evangelical world. The younger people are rejecting this for a number of reasons. I like to think that they see through the promotion of wars against Iran. We've got our vice president, who's an avowed Christian Zionist, who is all ready to go to war. Lindsey Graham, Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, he claims to be a Christian. And so we've got all these warmongers and people that look at Christianity and say, well, why are these Christians promoting going to war? That seems counter to what Jesus taught. And deep down, a lot of the younger generation are recognizing this.
Tom, yeah, that's very well said, that we make this point always. Where Christian Zionist leads us is into one war after another, because this is the only way that Zionists can capture what they're after, which is property, which is oil in the Middle East, which is the wealth that they seek after. It isn't that they're trying to sell their religion to the rest of the world. It's that they have objectives, which are financial. And so we need to constantly point out that at the bottom of the Christian Zionist movement is all of the wars that we've been in for the last, how many years, 30 or 40 years. Most of them have been resulted from that. And that is at the bottom line of what we must always teach people, is if you'd like to see us stop killing people, have peace and stop destroying our money, then what we really need to do is throttle the wishes and wills of the Zionist movement in America.
So I do want to throw my 2 cents worth in here on what Chuck just said. I do believe there's religious background in all this. I believe that the Zionists are the Jews who put Jesus on the cross. They still believe their covenant's good. They are still as wicked as they were the day they put Jesus on the cross, and their agenda isn't just money and oil. They still believe that promised land is theirs. Actually, they believe the whole world is going to be theirs, and they believe they are self-fulfilling prophecy. Even though they're very secular, they still believe in prophecy. That's what I see. My studies have shown me, and the Christians who are with them all believe that they are doing all this for religious purposes. So Christian Zionists, you go talk to a Christian Zionist, they don't care about oil. They think they're fulfilling God's will, and they are diligent, and they are determined that they are serving God in what they're doing.
Thanks for listening. If you like this program, please let your friends know about it and our other thought-provoking podcast. And be sure to visit our website, WHTT.org, for a wealth of information on Christian Zionism and other critical issues that we face. Also, at WHTT.org, you can watch for free our award-winning documentary film, Christian Zionism, The Tragedy and the Turning, Part 1.
You're confusing me. You're asking me, what were you trying to ask me? When do I want to open up my mic, and how's it been? I point to the mic, and I give you a thumbs up. Mike, it's been that way for how many years? And that's why I'm sitting here going, huh, what? It's something we've done 1,000 times, thousands of times. At any rate, I've got to get Chuck Carlson on the air. It's been a long time. It's been probably years since he's been on the network. You know, as Americans, we got the right to question that which is perceived to be the threat to America. Am I supposed to apologize for that? No. Am I supposed to stay away from it? No. Not if I'm conscionable, not if I've got a heart, not if I've got a mind. By the way, in the realm of financial dealings globally here, the foreigners are dumping our U.S. treasuries. Now, I just looked at the 30-year treasury today. It's paying under 3%, which is not even close to keeping up with inflation. And people are not going to buy the U.S. debt because they're sitting there waiting for our little house of cards to crumble. The latest TIC data for the month of May, released just after the close, showed that China continued to sell U.S. treasuries for the third straight month, bringing its total to just $1.11 trillion, down another $3 billion, the lowest since May of 2017. Even as Japan bought a whopping $37 billion in U.S. paper in May, its largest monthly purchase since August of 2013, and bringing its total to $1.101 trillion, just $9 billion shy of China's chunk. Meanwhile, in a surprising development in the UK, which has been aggressively buying U.S. paper, either for itself or in proxy for other purchasers, saw its holdings jump once again, rising $323 billion, an increase of $22 billion in a month. Similar to Belgian and Euroclear, it's far more likely that this surge is simply the result of some offshore fund serving a sovereign, but based in the UK. Treasury's kind of making a comeback, kind of not. Everybody's choking in debt, and who wants to hold U.S. paper? Hell, even U.S. people don't want to hold U.S. paper. I thank you for being here today, ladies and gentlemen. It's been great to be in service to my country. I am your host, John Stattmiller. This is the National Intel Report, and we ask you, ladies and gentlemen, we're basically listener-supported. Please support us so we can continue our mission for another day, another week, another month, or until these clowns are beaten back in the hole from whence they came. Thank you. Appreciate you being here. We'll see you Monday. Stay tuned for It's a Trump Phenomenon! Jamie Kelso.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.